page Sadi Beis, we're speaking about over here, about Hasmodas ha'avoida here, Iker. Consistency in avoida. A person can't have hasmodas ha'avoida unless he's got this midas habikush. He's yearning for it. He's hungry for it. David HaMelech, we spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu. Ata achiloi salarois es avdoch. I'm just beginning. David HaMelech says, Hoireini Hashem darkecha. Show me your way. Ahalech ba'amitecha yachad levavi liyir Hashemecha. David HaMelech was hungry. And even though we're talking about already David HaMelech, we spoke about the Chofetz Chaim and the end of his life. He was already much older. But he still had that hunger even at the end of his life. And this is the nakuda. Every person is able to start strong. Every person is able to begin with an enthusiasm and gishmak. But ki alecha ekra kol hayoim, the entire day, all of the time. That's what David HaMelech was saying. Manena anan basrei. What can we say? Tzayel lecho. Imagine yourself. And only if a person does this is he able to have that hunger. Ben melech hatoye behorim. You're like a prince, the son of a king. He's toye, he's lost. Behorim, he's in the mountains. Bamidbar, he's in a desert. Midbar shmama. Ben chayois torfois. And there's over there animals that want to tear him apart. Viroitzchim, and there's murderers, orvim, that are there that they're trying to, they want to attack him. V'yodea sheyesh kan derech hamoivilo. V'yodea sheyesh kan derech hamoivilo el aviv. He knows that somewhere here he can find the path that will lead him directly back to his father HaMelech. Avol ne'elma mimenu haderech v'lo yedor. He doesn't know where it is. He's lost. He can't find it. How big, how consistent is his search going to be? As he's trying to find his way. How big is he going to scream to his father? Show me, where are you? I'm trying to find you. I'm lost, I'm scared. Kiben melech. But it's only if you see yourself as a prince. You realize you're a prince who's lost on the way. Ben melech hatoye tires atzmecho. It's only if you see yourself, you understand that you're a prince. Miruchok min hamelech, and you're feeling distant from the king. Avicha, your father shebeshamayim. Toye, you're lost. You're lost over here in the desolation of this world. Shimimas oilam hazeh. Gashmios. Shtusim. Mechablim es haguf. They're there. They're going to hurt you. They're going to attack you. The gashmios is going to destroy your body. Umamisen es hanefesh. It's going to kill your soul. And only if you realize that this is the dynamic, this is the way you see yourself. I'm a prince. I have a father, the king. And I have someone to reach out to. And I'm lost. And I'm in danger. If you realize that, Rak oz tasmid levakesh es haderech la'Hashem. Only then are you going to consistently search for the way to get back to your father, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ube'emek libecha, from the depths of your heart, titzak, you'll scream out, Tamid, Hoireini Hashem darkecha, show me your way. I want to know how to get back to you. Only if you realize this. There are so many pieces, my friends. One piece is, many people don't see themselves as a Ben Melech. They see themselves as, I'm just a guy. But we're not just a guy. You're a prince. And a person has to see himself that way. And a person has to realize that I have something that's unique about me, something that's priestly about me, that's princely about me, that's divine. Kedoshim Tiyu, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, is a mitzvah for a person to believe that he's kadosh, that I am special, I am unique. I'm a ben melech. There's a lot of people out there that are not ben melech. And maybe for them, so it doesn't really make that much of a difference. Melech, there's danger. And you have to be careful. What's the danger? The danger is gashmius and shtusim. Shtusim means something it's like stupid. Anyone have a good word for shtusim? What's a shtus?
Nonsense.
Frivolous. Nonsense. Frivolous. Nonsense. My friends. Okay, it's a shtus. A shtus is mechavlum es aguf u'memisim es hanefesh. The shtus is going to, they're trying to injure my body and destroy my soul. It's a shtus. Okay, I have a shtus. It's a mishigas. I have a mishigas. What is going on? It's so terrible to have a mishigas. What's so bad? We are limited. We're humans. We have limitations. But there's only so much space that we have. There's only so much space that we have for, like, relationships. There's a limit to how many relationships a person can have. In a person's life, a person can have, a regular person, 150 relationships, intimate relationships. According to science, the yeshiva is exactly the amount of number of people that we have because too many people in yeshiva, you don't really have strong relationships. 150. There's a company, I've done research on this, called Gore-Tex. If you're familiar, Gore-Tex is a huge company. Every factory has a maximum of 150 people. If they need to make another product, they open another factory. There's no such thing as a factory, because 150 keeps us feeling like we're connected, like we're part of something. Once it gets bigger than that, so then you just feel like, you know, maybe you're close with your chevra, your little thing, but we have a limit to how many relationships we can have. We have a limit to how much we can admire, how much we can feel like admiration. We have a limit. If a person has within his life different things that he has admiration for, he has a mita. There's a mita that we have. Mita means that there's a measurement. It's only so much. It takes up space. If we have shtusim that are in our life, it's a shtus, it's a mishigas. I'll give you an example. Yesterday, there was a terrible tragedy that happened to the world. It was horrible. People are bereft. They're lost. They don't know what to do with themselves. It was horrible because there was a great man who died in a helicopter crash together with Kobe Bryant. It was a great man who was there in the same helicopter as Kobe Bryant. No one cares about that guy. No one cares. There was four people died. Right? One of them is a retired basketball player, and it's a terrible tragedy. Why is he a terrible tragedy? More than everyone else. Why is this a terrible tragedy? Because of what about his kid that died? That's not a terrible tragedy? A little kid that died? No one's talking about his kid. It's about him. It's like, oh, Kobe, it's terrible. I don't know what it's going to be. What's so terrible? Oh, because of the allegations they had against him 20 years ago when he was over there. That was terrible, about all the terrible, despicable things that he claimed he didn't do. That's what's terrible? What is so terrible? What we have forged relationships that are totally not sincere. There's no depth to them. These people that are taking up space in our hearts. And I wonder if there are people out there that were more troubled by the death of Kobe Bryant than they were by the death of Avraham Leib Steinman. Do we feel as close to Avraham Leib Steinman? Do we know, like, where he grew up, or what yeshiva he was, the Rosh Yeshiva of? It's not Panovich. Some people think it might be. It's not. Do we know? We know a lot about Kobe. We know about, you know, what his scores were, where he played. We all know what team he played on. right? It's the we all know it's the what's the other team? Clippers, right? It was the Clippers. It's somewhere, and it's something in L.A. over there, right? Something, it's Panovich, I don't know, something B'nai Brak, I don't know, it's something over there. No, we know exactly, because we have forged a relationship. And the relationship is destructive. It's not just that, it's a mishigas. There's another person who was recently in the news for throwing rocks at the mailman, is that what it was? And getting in trouble with the police and fighting with his wife. And he's a legend, my friends. He's a legend. This guy's a legend. What? He's a despicable person. Anyone who doesn't get the reference, you could go to Dovey afterwards. Why am I more up to date than you are? That's what I want to know. Shah. Rabbi, we have, they call them idols. There are sports idols. It's a very appropriate term. These are people that we worship. And we worship them for no good reason. And if this is what we're worshiping, we don't have space. We don't have space in our life for Gedolei Yisrael, for creating relationships with people that we can really admire for who they are, for their character, for what they've accomplished with their neshama. Because a person is able to, is coordinated, doesn't mean he's someone that we should look up to. We wear their jerseys, we wear their, Rabbi Wiener Paskin, it's usher to wear a jersey of a sports player. Rabbi Wiener's a Mako. Usher, you know how to do that. These are not heroes. These are not heroes. These are not people that we're trying to admire or we're trying to be like. There's a serious breakdown in our value system when we do this. We allow these mishigasim into our life and we don't have space for things that are really important to us or should be important. So a person might say, listen, it's just a mishigas. Gas that has done a significant amount of damage. I'll tell you a story. And I heard the story, I verified the story, I told it over, I sent it out in a video. It wasn't exactly precise, so I'll tell you the exact accurate version of this story. Rav Moshe Weinberger, the Rav of Eish Kodesh. That's a hero. He was a young Rav. He was young at the time. And his batim loved him. They loved him. They still love him. And they said, Rav, we want you to come watch the World Series with us. This was back in the day. This is a long time ago when the World Series was actually more popular. You know, nowadays, if people don't have like the patience to watch seven game series. So, you know, football became like more... But back in the day, that was the big thing. The big thing was the World Series. I remember when I used to speak to Rabbi Meyer about telling him to come. He's like, "Is it the World Series?" "No, it's the Super Bowl." He's like, "What's this?" He said, "The World Series." He knows about the World Series. It's the Super Bowl. Football? Who cares about football? No, I was trying to explain it to him. He couldn't wrap his head around it. But he came anyway. But it was the World Series, and they said, "Rav, we really want you to come watch the game. It must have been the last game. It was a big game. They wanted to come." He's like, "I don't think that's my thing. I don't think I'm gonna pass on this." We're like, "No, Rav, we really want you to come. We'll turn off the commercials. You can say a Dvar Torah between innings. It's gonna be mamish give. We wanna enjoy with you." The Rav is, you know, he's like, he was not boys mamish, but he's like one of the boys because they're like, it's you're there. It's gonna be mamish gishmak. Come on, Rav, we want you to come. And they're like mamish begging him, and they finally said, "Okay, I'll come." Story from his son-in-law. Who asked him about the story. "How come? Came to the game." Anyway, it was a good game. It's like a really, like, it's down, like, to the end, and, you know, there's, you know, men on base and whatever it is, and Rabbi Weinberger walks to the front, or whatever it is, and pulls out the plug. "What are you doing?" He said, "I just have one question for you. Did your children ever see you get so excited about anything in your Avodas Hashem? You guys are cheering, and you're laughing. You ever saw you do that? What are you teaching your children over here? The most exciting thing in the world is a game. If you could tell me that you've shown your children this excitement in something else, okay. So then you're teaching them a corrupt Yiddishkeit. This is not our culture, my friends. Person says, you know, I got a little mishigas. I want to blow off some time. Blow off some, okay, people need to blow off. But what happens is, this has become the most exciting thing, the most exciting night. And that is corrupt. And any of you that have had the opportunity to be in this yeshiva for Super Seder have experienced a tremendous euphoric. Look up the word just to make sure you do it right. Do it right. Euphoric is like a simcha, like you feel like you're on a cloud. Do it right, okay? A person experiences simchas haTorah that he's never, and people that have been here will tell you they enjoyed being here for the learning, because we're here together and we're enjoying each other's company and we make a kishmak and we have a good time and we're learning and there's everything here is all for the, it's all positive. And they feel walking out feeling good about themselves. Real heroes. Because we all know there's two different types of yeshivas. The yeshivas that ignore the Super Bowl, and there's yeshivas that capitulate to the Super Bowl. Do you know what capitulate means? Can you figure it out in the context? There are yeshivas that ignore the Super Bowl, and then there are yeshivas that, like, bow to the Super Bowl. There is only, to the best of my knowledge, one yeshiva that takes a stand about the Super Bowl. And that is our yeshiva. Now, my friends, honestly, there are others that have tried. And whatever, you know, it went pretty okay for a year or two, whatever it is. But yeshiva is an anchor for the world. If you ever troll your way around the internet and you and people talk about how disgraceful it is that, you know, the yeshivas are empty on the night of the Super Bowl, you'll find every once in a while people saying, you know, in Rabbi Center's yeshiva, the boys are there. That is an amazing thing. It's an amazing statement, because we all know that we're guys that understand what it means sports. We understand what it means to have a good time. And we're here. We are an anchor for the entire Olam HaTorah, for Brisk, for Mir, for Tzvi Kaplan, for all these yeshivas. When we first did Super Seder, the first time we did it, there was a young man who was learning here, who was also learning in Brisk Second Seder. So we went to Brisk, and one of the guys was like, you know, making late sunnis. Oh, they did this, the centers did that thing over there. You know, they called centers then, whatever they called it. I don't know how they knew about it, whatever. I could say, it's like, can I ask you a question? Did you watch the game? It's like, yeah, I watched the game. It's like, so you're making fun of the yeshiva because they made this program and you're the problem. There's yeshivas that ignore it, and that's fine that they ignore it. I understand that. But we're making a statement. And Rabbi said, this year we're taking it to a whole new level. And I'll tell you why. Let me tell you why. The second year of Super Seder, the first year, it was the Colts and the Bears. That was the first year. Okay, we had David Lobos from Chicago, and Yudi Wyman was from South Bend. So it was, you know, for them it was rough. Everyone else, it wasn't as bad. Next year, it's the Giants-Patriots. So a few boys came over to me and said to me, listen, forget it. Okay? It's just not happening. It's not happening. It was the second year of yeshiva, and Baruch Hashem, every single one of them came to Super Seder. Every single one of them. One of them is actually the catalyst for what we're doing this year. He lives in L.A. He's flying in, Beis Hashem, to be by the Super Seder in New York, because he understood how powerful it was for him that he was so into sports. He's a sports, the guy is himself a sports legend. And he told me then, he said, listen, I have tickets to the game in Arizona. The game was in Arizona that year. I have tickets to the game. I'm not going to the game. Just let me watch the game. I just want to watch the game. I said, you are not watching the game. And he felt like such a change in his life because he spent that night learning. Unbelievable. And one of the Rosh Hashivas in the mirror, I saw him a few days later, said he was sick, he was in bed, and a bachur came to visit him. And the bachur said to him, what do you think Rabbi Center, like, bribed his Talmidim with to get them to come to Super Seder that night? Like, what did he give them, like, that they all came to learn? How could it be? How could it be that happened? His response was, maybe he just told them he thinks it's the right thing to do and they listened. Maybe that's what he did. Maybe he actually has a relationship strong enough with his Talmidim that they just want to do what they think their Rebbe thinks is right. And that's what he did. And it was a beautiful thing. And honest, truth be told, as this was molding, now everyone knows they come to yeshiva, they know this is what it is, right? It's, you know, you come to yeshiva, you're buying in, you know, the night of the Super Bowl, you're in the Beis Medrash. But this year, there's something different. Because this is my passion. This is something I feel very strongly about. And I'm not going to be here. What is that going to look like? We have, Baruch Hashem, already over 800 people signed up to learn Super Seder in New York. 800 people. With them. I'm not finished, because we want to get 1,000. But we do have people coming from Toronto, people coming from L.A., people coming from Baltimore, hopefully from Chicago, from Miami, a few from Brooklyn. Lakewood. I'm going to be here. I'm doing this once, my friends. I told them this is the only time I'm doing it. I hope that they're going to take it from here. Rabbi Feiner, who I spoke to, I told him, Rabbi Feiner, next year you're doing it in your shul and leave me out of it. Rabbi Leaf is going to do it in his shul, Beis Hashem. Hopefully, this is something that will get so much traction because people are so excited about it. I have Talmidim coming with their children. They're coming to learn with their sons. They're excited to be able to make a statement on two continents, in Eretz Yisrael and in America. I need this work. Now, it has to be that this Beis Medrash is fire. Because that's what it is every year. You have to make this night the most amazing night of hasmada, of learning, of chazora, of kedusha, of tahara. Go to the kaisel the next morning. I always say, in daven. We have most of the night, most of the times we're here, we have Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Tzvi Meyer come. Tzvi Meyer is a kaddish, a yid kaddish. There's very few people on this planet that are like Rabbi Tzvi Meyer. Comes and he's mechabed. You understand? He comes here to show you how precious, how important it is. And see what an esrotzen it is that people, the al-bachrim, that are tearing themselves away from the shtusim. You want to say it's just a shtus? It's a shtus. Shtusim will destroy your life. You want to have a life of substance, of meaning, of purpose, something that has value. You're pulling yourself away from the shtusim of the world. And even a person says, you know what? I don't even care anyway. But the fact that you're joining us and we're being a part of this as a tzibor, as a yeshiva, and we're all doing this together, we're being mechazik each other. Baruch Hashem. Rabbi Yeshivas Or Yerushalayim, who used to be Rabbi in our yeshiva, is going to be there. Rabbi Mati Polanski is coming. Rabbi Meir Bronstein is coming. Rav Chesky Rutkin, Rav Mati Zeiger from Darchei Torah is coming. Rav Yehuda Orlansky is coming. Beryl Septimus is coming, Avishron is coming, the Rabbanim are coming, a Flatbush, everyone's coming. Because the Olam understands that this is an amazing opportunity for us. But it's only going to work, if you boys here get the strength to be the leaders. You be the leaders, my friends. This yeshiva is the foundation. Because whatever we're doing there, it all started here. We need to stay strong. We can't have a year where the Super Seder is just not what it was the year before. So I need this year to be better. And I'm counting on you. Honestly, honest to goodness, you could ask Rabbi Stark. I really want to do this last year. Spoke to my alumni. And Stark said, the alum's not ready for it. They're not ready. It's not going to go. You're going to leave, it's not going to... And this year, I said, the Olam is ready. The Olam is ready. The Olam is on fire. The Olam is real. The Olam is steiging. You don't need me here. You don't, you all, every single one of you are leaders. Every single one of you has the strength to be able to break away, to do this in a way that's going to bring a tremendous, tremendous shefa of bracha and hatzlacha into our lives. Beis Hashem, Mitziyata D'Shmai. We should be Zoicha, Kodesh Baruch Hu should help. My friends, I don't think you have another opportunity like this. I don't think you're going to find one. I don't think you have a chance when the entire Olam HaTorah knows what you're doing. This is your one chance. Where everyone knows that in this yeshiva, the Olam is sitting and learning the night of the Super Seder. But it's only true if it's really happening. So I'm asking you, not stam be here, but be here with a bren, with a fire. Be here with like, with an excitement and enthusiasm. Beis Hashem, Siyat Deshmai, we're going to be Zoicha, to V'tayar Libeinu, Liav Tuchav Emes. This year, my friends, 1,000 people are going to be learning in Rabbi Elishua. I hope. Next year, MetLife Stadium.